It's all about timing. Several stars, including Zion Williamson, Trae Young, and Fred VanVleet, show out just before coaches have to make their all-star reserves picks. The Timberwolves fire head coach Ryan Saunders and replace him immediately with an assistant from another organization. And the Nets keep winning, and they might add the Rockets to Marcus Cousins? Actually, he's not available. He's available? He's not available. Nah, he's not available. He's available? I'm Taz Mellis, and this is what you need to know in the NBA for Monday, February 22nd. And we start with Zion Williamson, because there's nothing like him in the NBA. He is one of a kind. So when I saw there was a nationally televised game, ABC, the afternoon tilt, Pelicans, Celtics, I was pumped. And then the game landed with a thud. Boston Celtics were up 24 points at one point. Zion couldn't get anything going. He was just driving into body after body after body. He had guards digging, little Kemba Walker getting in there, stripping Zion Williamson. So in the second half, Stan Van Gundy, Pelicans head coach, he changed it up. He said, Zion, let's spread it out, baby. You do your thing in ISO up top. Just use your body to get through your defender and the handles that you got. That's enough. Get to the rim and everything will work out. And it did. Zion had a great fourth quarter, 13 fourth quarter points, 28 overall as the game went into overtime and the Pelicans won. Brandon Ingram played perfectly off Zion's drives. Brandon Ingram had 33 points in this one. Poor Brandon Ingram. He's having a better season than he did last year when he was named an All-Star. And this year, it's very, very unlikely he'll get an All-Star nod, while Zion Williamson could. And he's playing great at the perfect time. As the coaches are getting their All-Star ballots filled out right now, they're going to have to make their picks before Tuesday's announcement. All-Star reserves announced Tuesday night on TNT. Looking forward to that. We've got a head coaching change in the NBA. The Timberwolves have fired head coach Ryan Saunders. But first, they had a game to play. Ryan Saunders was coaching against the guy he replaced, Tom Thibodeau of the New York Knicks, having a great season there. This game went down to the wire. Karl-Anthony Towns had a shot in the post to try and take the lead with 30 seconds left over his former teammate Taj Gibson, but it rimmed out on a rim in Madison Square Garden where the ball just kept rimming out on Sunday. And that was Ryan Saunders' final quarter as head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He took over for his late father, Flip Saunders, in 2019. The 34-year-old had a string of injuries to deal with and played in many, many close games. And the Timberwolves already have Saunders' replacement. Chris Finch, who was a Raptors assistant coach this season, has been given a multi-year deal by the Minnesota Timberwolves to coach them full-time. It's a rare move to pluck an assistant from another team mid-season to take over a job. Just doesn't happen very often. Usually, the team that fires a head coach just moves their assistant over for a while at the very least when the full job search can be done, until the full job search can be done in the offseason. But they had been looking at Chris Finch for a long time. In fact, he interviewed in 2019 when Ryan Saunders was eventually given the job. And Finch, like his good friend, Raptors head coach Nick Nurse, coached abroad for a long time, UK, Germany, and Belgium, then moved to the G League. And then was an assistant in the NBA for a decade, and he's an offensive specialist. He's worked with James Harden and Zion, and now he'll have the chance to work with Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. One other instance I found of an assistant coach moving to the head coaching spot on another team midseason was Lionel Hollins, moving from the Bucks bench to the Grizzlies head coaching spot in 2009, thanks to Mike Vorkunov and the Athletic Slack channel for giving me that info. Speaking of Nick Nurse, he said he's going to be calling all the other head coaches saying Fred VanVleet should be an all-star. And against the Philadelphia 76ers, Fred VanVleet sure looked like an all-star, making a first quarter run, bringing the Raptors back with a great 13-point quarter, wild shot off the glass. He didn't call a glass. But either way, Fred VanVleet is making his name known this season. If you remember a few weeks ago, he had a monstrous 54-point night. It's an outside chance that he'll make the All-Star team. But if the coaches value winning, the Raptors have a winning record. More on that in a second. That's wild. Joel Embiid coming off a career 50-point night himself in his previous game. Went up against Nick Nurse and his wild coaching style. The Raptors started small. OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, What? But in the fourth quarter, they went big against Joel Embiid, and it worked, seeing all these different defenses. Embiid shot 6 for 20. Aaron Baines looking like a player. Chris Boucher looking like a player. What's going on with these Raps? They're 16-15. First time above 500 this season. They started very slow in their new home of Tampa. But why am I telling you? Let's let one of the best analysts in the biz, Raptors' Jack Armstrong, break it down for you.
Raptors started 2-8. For all you people that jumped off the wagon, shame on you. You got to be falling in love with this team. They fight. They grind. They're coming.
The Brooklyn Nets are staying hot. They have won 6 in a row, and they swept a 5-game West Coast swing, much of it without Kevin Durant, but Harden and Kyrie were enough to get a big lead on the Los Angeles Clippers on Sunday. Although, the Clippers fought back in the fourth quarter. They were down 14. Maybe it was owner Steve Ballmer's flailing legs courtside that got them tied with 29 seconds left. But DeAndre Jordan against his old team, a great tip-in with his left hand to give the Nets a 2-point lead. Then Kawhi had a chance to tie it. He drove James Harden. Well, he flopped, and the offensive whistle went against Kawhi Leonard. People were going crazy for the flop. It was definitely a flop. Although I will say, mere seconds earlier when Kawhi tied it from the free throw line, he got a very questionable call against DeAndre Jordan, who barely bumped him. So it all balances out. Unfortunately, Paul George wasn't on the floor there late. Minutes restriction. Yikes, he sat the last couple minutes when he was the best Clipper on the floor in this one. 34 points for him. The Nets, they are now 6-1 against the Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, Bucks, and Sixers this season. Man, they're impressive, but they could use another big. And that brings me to the DeMarcus Cousins story out of Houston. It's a strange story. Cousins having a solid year on a non-guaranteed deal. February 27th is when non-guaranteed deals either have to be guaranteed for the rest of the season or the player has to be released. On Friday, it was guaranteed early by the Houston Rockets. Then on Saturday, there were reports that Houston was going to release him. Okay, everyone said. You know what? They're doing DeMarcus Cousins right. Teams and agents around the league see moves like that where you pay a player for his time and people respect it. So I start reading stories about DeMarcus Cousins and why he struggled a little bit in Houston defensively, how he's not part of the future on the Athletic. That totally made sense. But then on Sunday, when everybody's thinking, oh, is he going to the Lakers? Is he going to the Nets? Well, Rockets head coach Steven Silas was asked, is DeMarcus Cousins with the team? Is he leaving the team? No, he's here and he's going to be here for the foreseeable future. So it sure looks like the Rockets will release him at some point if they can't get an asset back in a trade, if they can't get a second round pick back for DeMarcus Cousins from whether it's the Nets or the Lakers. But I think he will be joining another team. And I, for one, think it should be the Lakers. I think he'll get exposed on the Nets because they're not a great defensive team and they will want him to be something really good defensively, something which he isn't at this point. He'll get exposed. They like to switch a lot. He'll just be out on an island way too much. While with the Lakers, they're already a good defensive team. They won't ask him to do too much. And he was there last year. So I think he can take a bit of a lesser role and be okay with that. And they can get him the ring that he should have got before they released him last season. LA is the better option for me. Let's take a look at how a few potential All-Star reserves are performing just before the coaches have to make their decision. OKC's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander peaking at the exact right time, 31 points on only 15 shots against the Cavs on Sunday. Although it's tough in the West to make an All-Star team, I think Shai will be on the outside looking in this season. Trae Young in the East is not a lock, even though he made it last year, but he's peaking at the right time. His last few games have been great. He had 35 points and 15 assists against Denver on Sunday. I do think he will be selected. And Orlando's Nikola Vucevic, what more can he do? He's not getting hot at the right time. He's just been hot all season. He had a 37-point game against the Pistons on Sunday. I'm not sure if the one-time All-Star will make it when the reserves are picked on Tuesday, but I will be watching. Thanks for watching today. Make sure you watch the full No Dunks episode here on Monday. I'll be back on Tuesday to give you the news as fast as I possibly can. I'll see you then.